Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, Answers for Healing and Infinite Love, a book that explores the content of our mind and soul through a greater understanding of universal energy for manifesting a healthy and abundant, purposeful life. Joining me today is David Howitt, author of Heed the Call, a book about following your path, creating a life of abundance and joy, and doing your part to repair the world. David is the founder and CEO of Meriwether Group and is a visionary entrepreneur and advisor who has guided the financial, strategic brand and marketing of companies ranging from early stage startups to Fortune 100 companies. Hello, David, and welcome.
Thanks so much for having me.
Great. David, as listeners of Healing From Within are aware, the goals of the show are to help people become aware of their own intuitive nature and the personal power within that helps to bridge the gap between our energetic creative view of the world and our ego-directed physical view of life, so we may live life to our fullest and manifest health, prosperity, and joy. In today's episode of Healing From Within, David, in the spirit of Joseph Campbell's book, The Hero's Journey, illustrates how by following the guiding principles that exist in every culture, it can lead entrepreneurs to success. David offers 11 guiding principles that work in conjunction with our life experiences and provide the way to discover one's true calling, achieving liberating and life-altering opportunities for personal growth. By uniting artistry and analytics and integrating intuition with intellect, we will see how we positively affect the way we live and the world around us. David, please tell us something of your earlier life and how the seeds for writing this book may have been generated long before the idea even appeared to you.
Thank you so much, Cheryl, and thanks for having me on your wonderful show, and thank you to your listeners for tuning in. So, yeah, your question on where were the seeds planted ultimately for what became the book, Heed Your Call. I think, you know, like all of us, we all start in what Joseph Campbell called our known world, the world we're born into, our parents, our neighbors. Sometimes it may be the teachers and relatives or clergy that are kind of around us in our lives. And, you know, I think what ends up happening is often we believe that that is not just the known world, but our entire world or the entire world. For me, I was born in a kind of upper middle class, conservative, Midwestern town to parents who were very, very young when they were married, culturally Jewish home. And where ultimately the marriage just didn't work. And so there was a lot of strife in the household, a lot of tension. And I was the oldest of three boys. And so for me, my known world at my earliest memories meant becoming a caretaker, becoming someone that sort of managed and tried to ensure that there was, to the extent possible, calm and order and any kind of modicum of happiness in the home. And I don't want to go into too much, but basically what that did is that shaped how I entered into the world, you know, what I thought my path was. You know, to me, my known world told me in very clear terms, okay, you do well in school, you make everyone happy around you, you go to college, and then you go on and get a graduate school degree, and you become either a lawyer, a doctor, or a business executive. And so I bought into that plan, and I bought into it sort of hook, line, and sinker. And really, frankly, I did well. I executed on that plan, not knowing that there may be any other path for me. And that led me to a place in my 20s where suddenly I had checked all the boxes, done all the things I thought I was supposed to do, and that everyone had told me, if you do these things, you will be successful, you will be happy, and you will have an abundant and great life. And so there I was, Cheryl, you know, having gone to law school and gone to college and obtained the job in the big law firm with the fancy salary and assistant and a big, you know, nice desk in front of me, and I found myself feeling empty, feeling alone, feeling sad.
David, I think as a result of your childhood and having to achieve being perfect in order to protect your younger brothers, and because you were in a divorced family, you took it very seriously that you had to be perfect. And we know there's no perfection. There's only doing the best we can with the knowledge we have at any given point. And I kind of think your intuition or an inner voice or connection to higher spirit said to you, David, you can do better. There's more for you than just following the plans of society and a plan that may have been other people's idea of what was good for you. And I heard that same small voice. I asked the question to the, I didn't know at that time I was talking to a universal higher energy or
Yes.
informational field or God or spirit, because I was very much of the physical world like you. But I did ask that question. Is this all there is? Because I
Yes.
have done it all and I am successful and there is something missing. My heart hurts. So
Yes.
we arrived at the same spot, maybe at a different time, but at the same spot. So let's go on. You write that the intuitive skills you had as a boy were not learned and revealed to you something quite valuable in understanding your inner and physical world. Can you tell us something of this awareness and how it assisted you in not getting stuck in the smallness of everyday life?
Gosh, I love the way you ask your questions. Thank you so much. I mean, that's just right on. I mean, yeah, so a lot of these, what I would call skills or what some might call coping mechanisms or strategies that I employed in my known world, the things that I use to sort of keep me sane and to try to like keep it all together, I found were things that were, you know, inherent in my sort of nature, in my true, that true centered place inside of each of us that, you know, unfortunately we give very little airtime to, possess these amazing kind of, I guess, tools that could be used in the world. And, you know, historically I only use them as sort of a defense mechanism in what was an unstable home environment. But you know, I got to a place in my life where I thought, gosh, I can start to play with these and see if these are tools that are useful in any way helpful in the business world. And lo and behold, I found, you know, in that an amazing key that opened a door to incredible, you know, sort of abundance and also a lot of happiness. That, you know, it isn't enough anymore in the business world just to be analytical, but you also have to use artistry. It isn't enough in the business world anymore just to have a really amazing knowledge base. You also have to have intuition. That by using these skills that frankly all of us possess, that are inherent in each of us because of our sort of humanity and divinity, that we can bring to bear this sort of connected set of tools, this toolbox that come with our soul, and use them in the world to create a really fulfilling and abundant life.
You know, we're growing by leaps and bounds. We're in a very big spiritual evolution or revolution now, whichever you wish to call it. And many people are feeling the changes within themselves and the need to reach out and live life more fully. And in the foreword of your book, you mentioned Brian Johnson, a futurist for Intel, and
Yes.
he described, I was fascinated with this. He describes the process of future casting and states that our future is not a fixed point on the horizon, but that it is being built every single day by our actions, and our actions are the results of our thoughts. And this is the premise of my book, The Living Spirit, which shares this search for beauty and peace and the inner life of love and self and the awakening of our subconscious or this voice of intuition and our eternal soul to make connections to each other and to the universe in this interconnected fashion. So can you tell us something about this
Absolutely.
concept?
Yes, very much so. So one of the things that I was really proud of with regard to the book, Heed Your Call, is that people from all areas, whether they be yoga teachers or luminaries or CEOs of major financial private equity groups and futurists for technology companies like Intel, all really resonated with the message. And so what that said to me is, it doesn't matter if you live on an ashram and practice yoga and meditation all day, or if you're in charge of a Fortune 100 business, these are rules, these are constructs that are useful and important. And one of the ones that you just hit on is this notion that it is our intentions, it is our innate sort of divine ability to co-create that actually defines the real world and defines our future. Now, we hear that, you know, that's not a particularly new thought. We've heard that in works like The Secret and others, where we learn about the power of intention or the power to manifest. But what I think I tried to do in the book, Heed Your Call, was to build on that and to actually show how that languaging and that thesis is not just something that's talked about in the spiritual world, but it's exhibited in the world of science. We see in quantum physics with the Heisenberg uncertainty principle, or otherwise called the observer effect, that we actually, as a matter of physics, we, the observer, determine outcomes. We see it from people who are working in large global companies like Intel, where they have high-level executives who are basically talking about how what we envision and what we put into our day-to-day field of vision is actually today determining what the future will be tomorrow. And so these are things that I see every day happening in the business world, not just in the world of spiritual thought. We are seeing a bridge, and a bridge is being built between spirituality and commerce and between the present and the future.
Yes, absolutely, because we are more than our physical body.
That's right.
We have this energy, internal force of creation from the universe where we come from and where we actually, the soul actually goes back to. I'm a medium, so I get information from that area all the time, and it's accurate and it's helpful to people. And so I know we are very much more than what we are going through here. So you are really saying, in being thoughtful about the relationships we choose to invest in, we may mindfully consider the work we do and heed the call, which will
Yes.
challenge us to commit to inner personal improvement and encourage new ways of thinking for building a better tomorrow. And in my book, I also say we're not only building our life here in the physical realm, but we are helping those in spirit continue to create. And what we see and do and act on, our behavior here, is creating our next experience beyond this life. And we feel what other people feel, and so we want them to feel love, compassion, health, intelligence, creativity,
Yes.
serve each other in all aspects of life, fun, and in the work field. And that comes across loud and clear in your book.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. And yeah, and again, you know, these can be used in business. I mean, if you talk about who is your consumer, who's your customer, and how can we ensure that our product or service is right for them? Well, you know, one of the first places I'd say is tap into your divine intelligence and your ability to intuit the people who are using your product or service, and literally, not figuratively, literally walk a mile in their shoes. You know, get inside of their soul, because you can, because we are all connected,
Yes.
and feel and breathe and experience how they experience your business, and then make the necessary adjustments. It's a tool available to all of us if we just let it in.
Well, it's happening. I think many people are now becoming conscious and aware that when they walk into a room, if someone's angry or upset, they're going to feel the vibration. And when we increase our vibration, that means going beyond negative feelings and emotions. We have to experience them, there's no doubt
Yes.
about it. But we don't have to hold it, we don't have to engage in it, we don't have to be with people who are still working at that level. We can be an example for holding an energy that is more loving, more helpful, creative, and inspirational. And that is the way we shift everybody out of these lower vibrational energies, and we will evolve into a more humane society as a result. And you share 11 transformational tools useful for recognizing and incorporating ideas and creative actions into a person's life patterns or their life journey or their business. And can you tell us some of these tools?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. Thank you for the opportunity to do so. So one of the tools that I love to talk about, because I know we have limited time, and I guess if I had to pick one that I feel is so helpful to me and so helpful to business and in the world, is what I refer to as the power of and. So unfortunately, in our culture, often in our schools and in our homes, we're taught what I refer to as the tyranny of or. And what that means, Cheryl, in my experience, is we're told that we have this Hobbesian choice. We either can choose to be artists and creatives, in which case we're going to have meaning and purpose and intuition, we're going to have deeper relationships, we're going to be culturally attuned, but we're going to be broke. Or we're told, you can be the left brain business executive and you're going to have lots of toys and lots of fancy things and fancy trips and a lot of success and bank account and tenure and status in the community, but you'll have poor relationships, probably poor physical health. You won't particularly be culturally attuned or have a lot of intuition or empathy in your life, but you'll be rich. And frankly, in my feeling, that is a great lie, and it is an unfortunate result of
our society. I agree.
So what we need are people like you that are prophets and have profit, P-R-O-P-H-E-T and P-R-O-F-I-T, that we need to have analytics and artistry. The Dalai Lama, someone I have just an amazing amount of love and admiration and respect for, once said, and I have to say I disagree, once said, the world doesn't need more successful executives, the world needs more healers and poets and artists. And the reason I disagree is I think the world needs more successful executives who are also healers and artists and poets.
Bravo.
It's from coming from a place of and. When we
yes.
are our fullest expression, when we are our fully integrated selves, we accomplish the amazing. So as a business or as an individual, one of the tools of the 11 is really this power of and versus tyranny of or. Bring your whole self. Make sure that your business, your entrepreneurial endeavor, whatever it is, embraces both. I mean, I just heard this really amazing fact. Google is hiring more masters of fine arts than they are masters of business. They understand that artistry has a place in the world of commerce.
In actuality, what you're saying is we can utilize both parts of our brain, the left side, which is analytical, and the right side, which is creative and intuitive. And we must use it all. We all have male and female energies.
Yes.
Why should we limit ourselves to being in one role when we can play and act in many roles like any performer on the stage? They're given many opportunities to be creative and improvise, and we need to do the same. And we are doing the same. We're talking about that here, and many people are becoming aware that it's okay to follow your own path and utilize
yes.
all your talents. You just don't have to be seen as male and analytical or female and feminine and creative.
Yes,
you
correct.
Can merge all this together. Now, you go on to have stories of some leading entrepreneurs and how their success happened, including Dave Killebrand, Oregon Chai, and Vogitos, to name a few. Would you tell us of these stories or any others that come to mind?
Sure. Let me just maybe briefly talk with you about Dave's Killer Breads, because I think it's a really interesting one. So Dave's Killer Breads was started by a friend of mine and an amazing human being named Dave Dahl. Dave Dahl had spent 15 years, three 5-year terms, in the federal penitentiary for a variety of crimes related to drug use and drug dependency. In his third time in jail, he finally received mental health counseling and medication. And as he puts it, it was like the light switch turned on. During the remainder of that term, he started to really work with health and wellness and started to appreciate, being a vibrating, high vibrational person in the world. When he came out, he returned to his family and said, "Hey, look, I know I've been a three-time loser. I know I've had drug issues, but I feel like I now have a purpose in life and finally can see what my dharma, my path is." His family had been a small family bakery, and he prayed upon them and asked them if they would support him in launching a new type of bread, which he called Dave's Killer Breads. And your listeners can find that by searching it in the web. He started a company using the family business and working a third shift in the middle of the night to launch a vegan, organic, fully sustainable, locally sourced, incredible bread. This bread is covered in seeds. It's so good for you. And he launched it at the farmers market. And we started working with him and helping him, and ultimately has grown that business into a company that's well over $100 million in revenue and growing at a significant stake because he embraced and. He decided that bread could be healthy, crunchy with seeds, vegan, organic, sustainable and locally sourced, and still be fun and irreverent and goofy and push the envelope with really interesting ideas and ingredients, and it could taste good. And when you brace and embrace and bring it into the world, the consumer responds. So now he has a business that's going to be worth, hundreds of millions of dollars.
And he's probably, the people who are working for him are delighted to be with him. He's probably running a very honorable
Yes.
business with integrity and with soul and spirit.
You
And
nailed it, Cheryl. He
bravo, that's why he's
hires a lot of
successful.
ex-cons, and he is totally, totally successful.
Great, that's great. I'd like you to tell us something about your high school football coach, Bar, and your grandmother, Lena. I love the stories that you told about them to nurture connectivity with others. What you learned briefly from both of them.
So firstly, with my grandmother, as I mentioned in your show and to your listeners, I had, kind of a challenging home life with my parents, but this amazing woman, my grandmother on my father's side, so soulful, so loving, so deep, really embraced me, literally, would put her arms around me and just hug me and tell me everything was going to be okay, and imparted to me such wisdom, such amazing wisdom about love and acceptance and about trust and the ability to be okay, be in the eye of a storm and find your inner calm. She didn't use terms like meditation or mindfulness. She was a simple person in many ways, an immigrant. But she had lived through such difficult and challenging times, and found a way to always have joy and happiness and gratitude and a smile on her face. And I learned so much from her about how to approach the world from a place of inner peace and from a place of love and trust. And I think without that, I don't know where I would be today.
You know what I think they both showed you? I think they both shared the belief that humanity is a single unit and connected by some greater force. And when you come to believe in oneness and the interconnectivity, there is no I. There is just we, and we give and we receive. And that's how it is designed to be. And you were very, very fortunate to have her in your life because now you're sharing a bigger message that started with her. And by focusing inward with this level of compassion that you show and love for self, you show it for others. And I want to thank you, David Howard, author of Heed Your Call, for delivering a story of your life and indeed, like mine and others on the path to remembering and reconnecting to the divinity and personal power of our inner lives. We are providing a series of principles, practices, and the methods to investigate life in a mindful and exciting new way. To purchase Heed the Call, go to David, HOWITT www.healingfromwithin.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing From Within, we have explored the integration of myth, science, spirituality, and business as the way forward to truly understanding ourselves and the possibilities for creating and living our dreams to the fullest. In my new book, The Living Spirit, I have explored the world of energy through my experiences as a Reiki energy practitioner and medium, offering an understanding of the universal oneness of the collective consciousness and the interconnectedness of all life. David, through his life experiences and business approaches, has also lived the journey of the hero in his own story and offers the reader a way to find personal, professional, and soul success through awareness, love, empathy, and compassion, and improved thoughts and perceptions. David writes, "One afternoon when I was struggling to find my place in the world, someone I deeply admire gave me Dan Pink's book, A Whole New Mind, and this book was nothing short of life-changing. Until I received the book, I often wondered, am I a left-brain executive or a right-brain humanitarian? As I read, I was awakened to the concept of an integrated approach to life, one where we use a whole brain strategy, where logic, creativity, and analytical and artistic thinking are all implemented. It was as if Pink gave me the permission I needed to embrace both sides of my personality and all my gifts. I was invited to cultivate my innate ability to toggle back and forth between my left brain qualities and those of my right brain." Dan Pink says that it is not enough to rely on intellect alone. We need to develop empathy as well. It is the integration of logic and care that best serves others and ourselves. I thought, oh my God, I know who I am. I'm both logical and creative. I am an integration of the two. David and I would like you and ask you to recognize the dual nature of your life, your physical and spiritual world, your logical and creative impulses, your male and female energies, your conscious and unconscious mind, and your soul and physical being, always moving towards the unity, oneness, and integration of these parts of yourself so you may access the best of all worlds, the seen and the unseen, and create a healthy, prosperous life and a better world community. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, and invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, where you may listen to authors in the fields of science, spirituality, business, medicine, psychology, education, the arts, and music, explore the wonderful realities of our inner and outer worlds. Shows are also available on WebTalkRadio.net and DreamVision7Radio.com. Thank you very much for listening.